Hello, and welcome to Healing School 24. It's episode 5. And thank you, Pastor Lisa, for that beautiful song. I never get tired of hearing that song. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm at work, I'll put that song on, and I'll just put it on continuous play and let it play for the morning because it ministers to me so. Because you need to really think about it. We serve a healing Jesus that has never passed away. And you know, it says that he healed them all. And so the last time, y'all, we were talking about traditions of men was the only thing that made the Word of God of no effect. And it's because when you have such a tradition, like all my life I thought cleanliness is next to godliness was in the Bible. I don't know how many of y'all thought that, but I thought it was in the Bible. Well, it's not. But, I mean, maybe it should be, but it's not. But that's a tradition. That's something that somebody's been taught. But we can't let traditions of men rise up and blind us to the Word of God. It says, but the Bible says, people gave glory to God when they saw the lame walk and the blind eyes see. When you start hearing and seeing people's testimonies and where God has healed them of something that the doctors say they can't be healed, then that edifies your thinking. It edifies your spirit, man. And you begin to know that the things of God are real and they're true. You know, the other day I had an earbud that I had washed in the washing machine. And I forgot, that's another thing going on our list. I washed my earbud in a washing machine. And I got to work, and I was fed up with not being able to talk on my phone. Because me and my mother talk, we talk sometimes an hour, 2 hours at a time. And I can't hold a phone and work. So I put my earbud in so that I can hear, we can talk, and I can still work. And so I picked up that earbud and I put it in my hand and I began to speak in praying tongues and I breathed on it because the word says that he breathed the breath of lives into men. So I began to breathe on that earbud. Then I picked up the case and put it in my hand and I began to speak to it and I said, in the name of Jesus, work. So it, you know, it didn't come on. It didn't. Nothing. I set it down, I put my earbud inside the case, and I began to work. And about 30 minutes later, the Lord said, pick your earbud up and check it. I just looked at it and kept working. And I heard the Lord say again, pick your earbud up and check it. And you know, I don't know about y'all, but when the Lord's been instructing me to do something, and you just know that's not the way it is, you're like, okay, all right. You know, I picked it up, put it in my ear, and it powered up to my phone, and there it was. Had been washed in the washing machine and it worked. Why? Because God says he's a jealous God, and that word means that he is intensely interested in whatever concerns us. You serve a God who is intensely interested in whatever concerns you, and if you don't think that your healing is concerning to him, then you need to get in the Word and find out. Because he had meant so much to Jesus that he died on the cross so that you could be healed and whole. Now, a healing, a miracle healing is wonderful, but it's God's will that we walk in everyday healing, miraculous health at all times. People glorified the God of Israel when they saw his power in manifestation. Matthew 15:30-31. Jesus said, the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. John 15:8. Cancer is not a fruit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Arthritis is not a fruit.
Amen.
The world is not impressed by people's sicknesses. They are not impressed because you bear up under pain and agony. They have all the pain and agony that they want. They don't need any more. They are looking for a way out of sickness and disease, not a way into it. They have enough problems. They want some answers. People are oppressed by Satan, and they need deliverance. They want victory in their lives. They want victory in their walk with God. They want to know how to pay their bills and to be free of sickness and pain. It's not lovely to worry. I remember a time. I don't know if you remember this, Mother. Tiffany, my youngest daughter, cannot stand to hear my stories. She'll say, Mom, they're so sad. She said, I don't want to hear those. But I had bought a car. And I was a single mother at the time, and I got behind on my payments. And I remember jumping up and running out and looking in the parking lot where I parked at work to see if my car was still there, because I was behind on what I owed. And you know, that's what happens. If you don't pay your bills, they come and get it. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. I couldn't. I didn't know how. I didn't know how to do this thing. And that's the way a lot of people feel. They want to be well. They want to walk in abundance of prosperity. They want to help other people. But if they can't help themselves, how can they help other people? Well, God is here to tell us that God gets glory from people being prosperous and from people being... What better is it for you to be able to testify of what God's done for you? I mean, I know a woman who was sewing for a car, and she had nothing else to give but some rocks. And she would get those rocks, and she had polished those rocks, and she would give them in the offering. And I'll never forget the night when this young couple came in. They came from Coleman, Alabama. And they walked in, and they had never been to our church before. And they came up to her, and they said, "The Lord told us to bring you this title to this car." And it was a nice car. It wasn't some piece of junk on the side of the road. I believe it was an Altima. It was an Altima. And she learned to live. And yesterday I was telling my husband, as we were discussing some things, and we were going over, and he said, "Well, that's what we do, Vanessa." He said, "We live to give." Yeah. He said, "That's the way we live." Because in the natural, the things that we do, if you knew me, you would say, "How do they do that?" It's because we live to give. We love to serve, and we love to give. And when you can get to the point to where you love to give more than you love to receive, nothing wrong with receiving. God wants us to, but you got to get a love in your heart for other people. That's why when people want me to pray for their healing, I want to pray for them, because what I'm praying goes through me and goes to them. Amen. Amen. That's exciting. As believers, we are to be lighthouses of deliverance and a help in a dark world. God's will is that we show forth His love and power to the world around us in need of help. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. We glorify the Father when we shine His word on this dark world. You know, the word says that the darkness can't pierce the light, but the light pierces the dark. You take a little tiny pin light and you go outside at night, that little pin light will show up like a satellite in the sky. Why? Because you are made to shine. The light in you is from the light of the Holy Ghost. And when you walk into a room, devils have to flee. Things have to bow to the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I had a man tell me the other day, and it's a man that I prayed for. And he said, "Well, I don't see much of what God's doing for me right now." I said, "You don't?" He said, "I don't." I said, "Are you breathing?" And he said, "Well, yes." I said, "Did you make it out of that water?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I can tell you this much." I said, "There's a day coming." And I said, because he said something about dying. I said, "Yeah, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment." Not a time. People get that wrong. It's not a time to die. It's once to die, and then the judgment. There's too many things in the Word that tells you how to prolong your life. You can prolong it by honoring your mother and father, so your days will be long upon the earth. You see, that's some things that's not taught. But we're here to teach those. Amen.
Amen.
And so I was telling him, I said, "I can't tell you, sir, when you're going to die." I said, "I can only tell you it's appointed once to die." I said, "But I can tell you this. When you die, you're going to live eternally. I said, but it's up to you where you're going to live that eternity. I said, you're either going to live it with Jesus or you're going to live it in hell. I said, now that is up to you. And you say, I wasn't being mean to him. I wasn't being ugly. But that's a reality check. You need to know what you're talking about before you start spouting out. When you wake up in the morning and you rise up, God has blessed you. When God, it says that he breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. And I heard Jesse Duplantis say, it wasn't CPR. He didn't breathe it in his mouth. He breathed it into his nostrils. And when he breathed it into his nostrils, it was the breath of lives. Not one life, but lives. That's me. That's you. Whoever's alive today. Because if you're on this planet, you're alive. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The world is supposed to see the good works in our midst, not sickness and disease, that they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Philippians 2:15-16. Our commission is to give forth the word of life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And he also tells us there is a devil out there. And he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There is a devil. And he does walk around trying to roar. But we know who the true lion is. And that lion is the Lion of Judah. And if you are a born again believer, then the Lion of Judah lives in you. And when you open up your mouth, then that is the lion roaring out of your mouth.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Where did I get to? Okay, the word of God concerning salvation, healing, and deliverance to those around us. Instead, because of traditions of men, we have tried to tell the world that the God we serve has made us sick. Why do I want to serve a God that wants to kill me? Why?
You wouldn't
want to serve a God that kills you. And you know, people will say, well, if it's God's will, if it's God's will this, if it's God's will that. We know God's will because it's right here. He tells us. We've got God's last will and testament right here. You know, sometimes families will make a will out and people can't find it. And then they'll have the will contested. But here is the will. And he put it in plain sight for everybody who will see and believe may receive. Amen. All you got to do is pick it up and he'll tell you what he has left for you. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, wouldn't it be exciting for somebody to leave you something in a will and you find out and you think, oh, Uncle so-and-so left me $1 million. Well, glory to God. Well, guess what? The God of the universe, he left you with his mind. He says,
yes.
Put on the mind of Christ. Put my mind on so you can wake up in your sound mind. He left you health and healing so that we don't have to be sick no
right.
more.
Mm-hmm.
He left you with love and compassion so that you can love the world just as he did. You see, it's not easy to love your enemies. It's easy to love your friends because
mm-hmm.
they're friendly to you. It's not easy to love your enemies,
yeah.
but God charged us to do that. Why? Because he is a God of love.
Yeah.
He loves us so. The word says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it's just as I told that man the other day, everyone's going to live eternally. It's just up to you where you're going to live that eternity at. So there was this man and he had some kind of disease and it was incurable. And they were having to give him pain medicine. And unbeknownst to his wife, he was getting pain medicine from different locations. And so he had quite a few saved up. And so he had drove out to this field, and he was sitting in his pickup truck. And he said he started easing up, and he leaned back in his seat, and he said, oh, I've finally taken enough that it eased his pain. He said the next thing he knew, he was standing out beside his truck looking back. He said, I remember being so angry because someone was sitting in the seat of my truck. And he said he was slumped over my steering wheel. And he said the more he looked, he realized it was him. He was slumped over his steering wheel. And he said that all at once he felt this rush and he was taken up through the sky and he went into this like tunnel and it was like a portal. I think that's really what people are seeing when they say it's a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a portal.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he gets up there and he don't want to leave. And he got up there and he talked with Jesus. And he said when Jesus raised his hands up, he saw the giant holes. He still has the holes.
Mm-hmm.
See, the holes went here.
Yeah.
It went through his wrist, not his hands. And when he read, his robe fell back. And he said there was an angel standing behind him. And he said, but before this happened, he said when he was walking up that portal, he was out in a field. And this side, it was green, like, I don't know, probably as green as this shirt. And he said on this other side, it was burnt, like someone had burned up the grass. He said, why I did this, I have no idea. But he walked over to that burnt side and he looked over and there was a cliff and he fell. He fell in that cliff. And he said he heard this creature coming up from underneath where he was. And he said he heard screams and he looked around to see where the screams was coming from. And he realized that the screams was coming from inside this creature. Like he had eaten the souls that were people that were down there. And he said he heard this voice saying, Jim, Jim, you must come with us. And he said he turned back around and he had prayed the sinner's prayer before he died. And he said, God help me. And he said three balls of light came from the sky and it was three angels. And they picked him up out of that pit. He said, but he never turned back around to look at that creature. He said, because he knew if he did, he'd be there. And they took him, the angels took him over to where I told you the lush green grass was. And so when he got up there and he was talking to Jesus, and he said, and he raised his hands up, and he saw the big holes in his hands. And he said, they're still there as a reminder of what he did for us on the cross. And he said, when the angels bowed to him, y'all have heard me tell this part of the story before. He said, why are you bowing to me? I'm just a mere man. And the angel said, don't you know that the light of our master is inside of each and every one of you? And that makes sense because they say that when a child is born or is on its way, there's a spark of light that happens.
Wow.
And he said, don't you know that the light of our master is in each and every one of you? And he said, the angel pulled out a book, and I'm going to say it was probably like this thin. There were some books, you know, huge, but this was his. And he was rich. They called him Diamond Jim because everything he touched turned to gold. He said, and I gave to charity. He said, but I gave it for a tax write-off. He said, and all the deeds I did for God was in this book. He said, that's what I was most ashamed of. But when God told him, instructed him, and I'm not going to go into all of that, of what he wanted him to do. He said, don't make me go back. He said, I'll be good. But, you know, like God would, he said, it's not your time. It's not time right now. Now, I know I said it's not appointed unto man a time, a once to die, but he still had work to do on this earth. And so he sent him back to work here. But my point in telling you that whole story, there is a heaven and there is a hell.
Yes.
And only you can make that choice.
Yes.
Your mother and daddy can't make it for you. You know, if mothers and daddies could make that choice for their children, there would be no lost people in this world because you would do whatever you could for your children. But it's up to us to go forth and tell people the things like I'm telling you now. And you know, I was thinking about people, whether they watch these these broadcasts or not, I was thinking, why wouldn't you watch the Word? Why wouldn't you watch something that could bring you deliverance and peace? You know, why would you choose to live, as I've told my friends before, another night with the frogs when you don't have to?
That's right.
You could come to Jesus now and you could say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Cleanse me with your blood.
Yes, God.
That's all you've got to do. And then he'll instruct you on what he needs you to do next. When you get in the Word, this Word's alive. It's alive. It'll come up off the pages like it did for that woman. As she was reading the Word of God, this other prophetess saw the words come to life. She said those words raised up off the pages of that Bible and they turned into a golden light. She said, and as they rose up, they burst into golden sparkles. We've seen that. We've seen that in our church. Why? Because the Word is lifted up here.
Yes.
No matter what teacher, no matter what preacher preaches in this church, they preach the Word. Because Pastor Randy wouldn't have it any other way. You know, when a shepherd lets someone else step behind their pulpit, he's got to know what they're going to bring forth and feed his sheep.
That's right.
Because a shepherd will give their life for their sheep.
Amen.
The world is supposed to see good works in our midst, not sickness and disease, that you may be blameless and harmless. His will is that his body be the answer to the problem of sickness and disease. We've been told to alleviate the problem, not to teach people that God wants them sick. One tradition that has been taught very well is referring to Paul's thorn in the flesh. And you've all been taught this. I don't care what church you go to, what denomination. Everybody has their theory. In 2 Corinthians 12, really, it was not Paul's thorn, it was Satan's thorn. Everyone has heard about it. Tradition teaches that the thorn in the flesh was a sickness or disease. But the Word plainly says that the thorn was a messenger of Satan. This Greek word is translated as messenger 7 times in the New Testament. It is translated angel 181 times in the New Testament. All 188 times, this word is speaking of a personality, not a thing like a sickness or disease. Sickness is not a messenger, nor is it a personality. It was an angel or a messenger of Satan assigned to Paul to buffet him. The word buffet means to give repeated blows over and over and over. The Wymouth translation says concerning this, 3 times have I besought the Lord that he might leave me. 2 Corinthians 12:8. The King James Version says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. The thorn in the flesh was not a sickness. It was a tradition being taught. But a messenger from Satan, as the Bible teaches, does not use Satan's messaging service. God does not use Satan's messaging service. God did not give Paul this thorn in the flesh. Satan sent it to Paul that the thorn to stop the Word from being preached. He didn't want Paul preaching. Because you got to think about it. If you think about things you've done in the past, I can think of something I've said to somebody and hurt their feelings, and I'll try to agonize over it for days. You think about what Paul did. Paul tormented Christians. He had whole families taken and thrown in prison because they were Christians. But it says, we see an example where Satan buffeted Paul. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. When there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. They thought they had killed him. Why? Why did they want to kill Paul? For preaching the word. He was preaching them a word that would deliver them from everything that the enemy was trying to do. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came in the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas. What happened? They gathered around him. We have a thing that we call here at the church, the pool. And why do we call it the pool? Because we all gather around it and we pray. We pray in the spirit. We war for people. We war for the church. We war for the nations. And inside that pool is the power of God. You can feel it all. I mean, I don't remember a time we've got around that circle that you hadn't felt the power of God unleashed. Right. That's what they did to Paul. They did stone him to death. I believe they did. They thought he was dead, and they stoned him to death. But it says the disciples gathered around Paul, and they prayed over him, and he was raised up. Well, I won't have time to finish that, but I like that. I like that teaching. Yeah. We'll do it the next time. But I'm just telling you, don't let traditions of men rob you of what God's word has for you. You know, you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can stand for yourself. Me and Mother, we hadn't done this in a while. We got to get back to it. We used to take communion every morning. Every morning we would take communion. Why? Because it edifies our body and it edifies our spirit. And it shows what Jesus did for us on the cross all over again. We're not crucifying him again. We're remembering. He says, as often as you come together, do this in remembrance of me. We're remembering the blood. We're remembering the stripes. We're remembering the body that was broken for us so that we don't have to be broken and sick. Well, I've had a good time. I mean, this has been a wonderful time to me. I'm going to have to close. And I wanted to remind y'all that Table Talk will be back soon. We'll be back with some more episodes, exciting interviews. We got some people coming that you're going to want to meet. We've got songwriters. We've got singers. We've got producers. And they're all coming. Well, until next time, you've been with Shady Grove Church. This is Healing School 24, number 5. And I'm Vanessa Williams. See you next time.